Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
Welcome back to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio. And now, here's Gene Steinberg.
Does anyone remember an episode of one of the TV shows that depicted that kind of scene?
I don't, not one that's jumping off the top of my head.
What's weird enough, what did you eat at the diner that made it disappear?
I'm a late night person, and so both times I had kind of breakfast dinner. I don't remember exactly what I ate, but I do remember both times having scrambled eggs and pancakes, some type of probably toast. Now I'm a vegan, but then I was vegetarian, but I was still eating eggs. So toast, hash browns, scrambled eggs, pancakes, coffee.
Basic diner food.
Basic diner food. There were two people in the diner that I remember, a man and a woman, plus the woman working the counter, plus the cook. They were, all four of them were in there both times that I went in there.
They were the only customers besides yourself.
Only customers, yep.
That's odd. Usually when you go to a diner at different times, there's different people.
When I reflect back on it, Decatur at the time, kind of small town diner, and I've been to a lot of small town diners across the country at doing lectures, and you know, you get your regulars, and sometimes that's how the diner exists. You know, you just have three or four regulars that are in every single day, much like a home bar somewhere, right? And so it didn't seem off to me at all. This was just a small town diner, and these were the regulars.
You know, I live in the Phoenix area, as people know. I don't think there are too many places here that remind me of the traditional diner, like in the Midwest, like in New Jersey. I used to live in Edison, New Jersey, and within 5 minutes of us, there were a couple of diners. There was also the Somerset, New Jersey diner. And these were fabulous places to go. Brooklyn, New York. All these great diners out here, nothing like it.
Yeah, it's still like that around here in the outskirts of Detroit. You know, just down the street from me are two or three, and we have probably within a couple mile radius, you know, even half a dozen 24-hour diners.
Let's go back to this scene. You walk to this diner from your hotel room, correct?
Yep. Out the back door of the hotel, behind the hotel is a... I bring this up only because it's a little bit strange, but behind the hotel is a cemetery. So I had to walk through a cemetery to get to the road. And then I crossed the road and had to walk through a golf course. And then eventually get to a river, which I follow to another road. And then that road led me to the diner.
Why did you go there? Just walking around?
It was the closest place to eat. Where I could get, you know, hot food. There was a gas station in front of the hotel where I could get chips and stuff like that. But, you know, kind of being trapped and alone in Decatur, Illinois, I was like, well, I've got nothing to do all day long, so I might as well go and get something hot to eat. And I don't have a car, so I might as well just walk there before Ubers or anything like that happened.
Did you know this diner existed prior to that, or did you just luck into it?
No, I actually asked the desk clerk if there was a place around that I could eat, and he gave me directions. The problem is I didn't follow his directions. When he gave me directions when I got my car a few days later, he gave me the same directions, and I saw the diner that he was talking about originally, but that is not the diner that I ate at.
So this was an accident?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
I feel as though the only way that I can really wrap my brain around it is that somehow or another, you know, we have all this talk about time slips and dimensional jumps. Like at some point in that walk, I just wandered into another version of Decatur, Illinois.
Was the food really good?
It was diner food. Typical greasy spoon.
Yeah, but a lot of times when people have these types of experiences, they only happen once, and you know they're unable to repeat them. But you managed it twice.
And I think that happened just because I was unaware that it happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think that's probably a key to it, too, is it happens a lot, not just with vanishing diners, but it happens with, you know, ghosts and UFOs. I think that those experiences happen a lot of the time when you're just not aware that something weird is happening.
So this, of course, is one of the situations where you didn't ask for it. It just presented itself to you.
Yeah, absolutely. That, yeah, I was just going about my normal everyday life in a slightly weird situation being in that hotel by myself. But, yeah, not asking for it, and then it just happens. And again, I think that that is very typical when you talk to experiencers of strange phenomena, that I wasn't expecting it to happen, it just happened. And a lot of times when people go out to find Bigfoot or to find a UFO or to find a ghost, I feel like they're so intent they've become myopic and they miss the experience.
Have you had other experiences of any nature that are weird?
Oh, absolutely, for sure. I always say that I have 13 good weird stories over the past 30 years. I used to do a podcast called Realm of the Weird, which is still available where podcasts are available, where I tell, you know, my 13 weirdest stories. But, you know, I met a guy who said he was a time traveler one time, and that kind of freaked me out, because after I met him and he said that he would meet me in my past, which I thought was a very weird thing to say. Later that night, I gained a memory of him, which freaked me out because it seemed like he had gone in my past and met me in my past. You know, in upstairs in my office, I have a haunted mannequin head that I retrieved from underneath a local mall in my area that seemed to be attacking women in a ghostly manner. So, yeah, I mean, lots of experiences. I think that, again, the way I've talked about UFOs being cyclical, I think that people with their weird experiences have rises and falls. I think that, like, right now I'm in a kind of rest period for weirdness. I haven't had anything really weird happen in the past few years, so I think I'm on the downslope, but it'll cycle around again.
You really need to give us the details on the time traveler experience, because that's a fascinating story.
So a gentleman contacted me, said he was a time traveler. If I'm ever presented with a weird situation that seems safe, I say yes. I tell people all the time, if something is safe and it's weird, go and have the experience. He was at a institution. And so I was prepared for that, and I went to the institution where this gentleman was, and he had given me permission to talk to his doctors and nurses, and they told me that he had checked himself in a few days earlier, that he seemed to be fine, but he was talking about being a time traveler. And so when I talked to him, he explained that in the future, technology had been developed to send his consciousness back and forth through time, very Vonnegut-esque Billy Pilgrim, that he could only travel as far back as when he was born and as far forward as, you know, he lived until he died. And we had a few conversations over the course of a couple days, and when I started to doubt him one evening, he said that he would visit me in the past and give me a memory. And as I was driving home from that experience, I recovered a memory in my mind of when I was in one of my bands in the late 80s, of someone reaching through a crowd and grabbing my shoulder and saying, "John, remember me." And I was driving and I had to pull over because it was such a vivid memory. And I was really freaked out for a couple days. And I went back to the institute where that gentleman had checked himself in a few days later, and he had checked himself out. And I couldn't track him down anywhere. I got on the internet and started researching him and couldn't find him anywhere, couldn't find any records for him. And then I started to do this podcast that I mentioned, Realm of the Weird, and I was like, well, this is a weird story. I should tell it. And I recorded the entire podcast, told the entire story, and the night before I posted it so people could listen to it, I got an email from that gentleman saying, "I told you you would tell this story for a long time." This is years later. This is almost 6 years later. I immediately email him back. The email bounces back to me. The email address doesn't exist. And I I didn't put the podcast on for quite a while.
We exist, and you'll see why in a moment. John, Gene, and Tim, you're in
the Paracast.
Do you need a website? Well, you can get a great deal on hosting services with Namecheap's legendary coupon code. They're offering substantial hosting discounts on shared hosting, business hosting, VPS hosting, reseller hosting, and even dedicated servers. Namecheap is preferred by millions. It's backed by a money-back guarantee. Use the coupon code LEGENDARY to cash in on the special deal at Namecheap.com, Namecheap.com.
First came Attack of the Rockoids, and it was a critically acclaimed success. And now there is The Coming of the Protectors. A former military intelligence man is contacted by a space woman in a dream. A dream that turns out to be a nightmare, because evil forces on her distant planet are planning to conquer the Earth. This is gripping science fiction of the classic kind. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors. Find out more at Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids, R-O-C-K-O-I-D-S.com.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at TeamG'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at TeamG'day.com and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. TeamG'day.com. TeamG'day.com.
Radio? Why should I advertise on radio? There's nothing to look at, no pictures.
Listen, you can do things on radio you couldn't possibly do on TV.
That'll be the day.
All right, watch this. Okay, people, and now when I give you the cue, I want the 700-foot mountain of whipped cream to roll into Lake Michigan, which has been drained and filled with hot chocolate. Then the Royal Canadian Air Force will fly overhead towing a 10-ton maraschino cherry, which will be dropped into the whipped cream for the cheering of 25,000 extras. All right, cue the mountain.
Now, you want to try that on television?
Well...
You see, radio is a very special medium because it stretches the imagination.
Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info. Take your business to the next level.
A lot can happen in 6 seconds. A rodeo ride, a dramatic basketball win, and the world record holder can solve a Rubik's Cube. 6 seconds is how long it takes for an 18-wheeler traveling at a safe speed to come to a complete stop. And in those 6 seconds, that truck will travel the length of 2 football fields. So please, give them room. Never cut in front of a large truck for any reason. Our roads, our responsibility. Learn more at sharetheroadsafely.gov.
We'd like to hear from you. If you have a comment or question about the Paracast, send it to news@theparacast.com. That's news@theparacast.com. And don't forget to visit our famous Paracast community forums at forum.theparacast.com.
Of course, if we're going to be practical, we can suggest, well, people's email addresses change. Could it be, though, this guy played a game with you and maybe you made yourself believe that you had this memory?
Sure. One of the things that I did when I really became interested in paranormal phenomena or supernatural, high strangeness, whatever you want to call it. One of the first things that I did when I was in college was, you know, I joined every magician's guild that there was possible, Society for American Magicians, the International Brotherhood of Magicians. I started taking classes in hypnosis and neurolinguistic programming. I started doing experiments at Wayne State University, the college here in Detroit, doing float tank and isolation experiments and sleep deprivation experiments. I wanted to know how my brain could be fooled. So yeah, that's always a possibility that in some way or another he tricked my mind. But it was just such a strange scenario in that even back then when it happened, the thing that always disturbed me a little bit, and this is in the episode of the podcast, if you go back, I mean, I think I posted that in 2011 is when I originally told this story. In my notes, one of the things that he told me was that he couldn't see past 2021, that he believed that he died in 2021. And so when the pandemic hit, it really kind of freaked me out.
Got a lot of interesting tales there. Okay, we've covered two so far, the diner and the time traveler. That leaves 11 more?
Oh, yes. There are 11 more, you know, really, really good ones that I think are slightly good. And then, you know, I've been doing ghost hunts and taking people out looking for Bigfoot for years. So there's a lot of minor ones, too. One of the ones that I really like to remember and the story that really hits me the most is my friend Gundella, Marion Kuklow, she's passed now, but she was known as the Green Witch of Detroit, the first kind of witch that I ever met. And she wrote books about ghosts and hauntings in Michigan. And she told a story about this haunted cemetery in Detroit where people would see that kind of prototypical woman in white standing near a tall gravestone. After Marion passed, I wanted to kind of check her case files. And so I eventually found this cemetery and I found this giant stone. And I asked around and people had seen a woman in white standing near this tall stone. Of course, perfectly in line with high strangeness and the paranormal. While I'm in the cemetery, this black cat comes out of the bushes and I start talking to it, you know, where are the ghosts, buddy? And this little black cat runs over to this tall stone and lays down in the overgrown grass and I'm taking pictures of him. As a researcher, I'm like, well, why are people seeing this woman in white stand near this? And it's the gravestone is for this woman who his name is Eleanor, who died when she was in her 20s. And on the gravestone, it says, in loving memory of Ella. And so I went to the library, researched her death, found out that she had, you know, died from something like consumption, the flu, when she was in her 20s. And throughout the newspaper article, how newspaper articles were written so very personally in the early parts of the 1900s, they kept referring to her as Nora. And so a few days later, when I was looking at photographs from the cemetery of that little black cat, I noticed when he was sitting in front of the gravestone and had pushed the grass down, there was something scraped into the gravestone. So I went back to the cemetery and pulled the grass up and scraped into the bottom of the gravestone. It said, I am Nora, scratched into the stone. And I thought, oh, she's buried under the wrong name. For many years on her birthday, I took flowers there for Nora, and people stopped seeing the woman in white.
Okay, that's a good solution for ghost hunters. You fix the problem. It's like the TV show Evo, where they resolve or attempt to resolve problems with, well, all sorts of strange kinds of paranormal phenomena. They do exorcisms. Ever watch that show?
I've only seen one episode, but, you know, it was good, the one I watched.
It started on the CBS network and then moved to Paramount Plus. So if you don't join Paramount Plus, you don't get to see all the other episodes. But also, of course, Paramount Plus, by the way, is owned by the people who bring you CBS and has all the Star Trek stuff.
I have all the Star Trek stuff on DVD and Blu-ray, aside from the new stuff.
I find this is a cheaper way to go, especially if you take the ads. If you take the ads, it's less than $6 a month. So then it's really worth it.
I have too many streaming services as it is now. I can't believe I even get to talk to anyone like you and Tim for free.
Well, you haven't seen the bill we're going to send.
Oh, that's what it is. Sorry.
Tim issues those bills. We sent it to somebody named Bill to look it up. Okay, so we've got Nora, not Nick, Nora. I'm thinking in terms of an old series.
The Thin Man?
Yes, Nick and Nora. And we have the time traveler, and we have the diner that doesn't exist. That's 3 out of 13. 10 more. By the way, to make things more interesting, we're doing this show on May 11th. Of course, Friday is the 13th.
Well, I'm not going to give you all of my weirdest stories. Some people have to come to my lectures to hear some of them. I got to do something.
Okay, no more weird stories till they come to your lecture?
I'll tell you one more. This is a quick one, but it's one I tell at my lectures a lot because it really does push that idea of what you think is weird is weirder than you think. A woman came to me because she had gone to her grandmother's house. Her grandmother had passed away, and so everything had been boxed up, and the house was being sold. And she went to her grandmother's house to kind of check up on the final stuff that was going on with the house. And she walked in the front door and then went through this arched kind of doorway into the sitting room, and she saw 2 little girls and a woman in ghostly form, and she screamed, and they vanished. So she immediately called her mother and said, you know, I was at grandma's house and I saw these ghosts. And her mother told her, you know, you're crazy. Grandma's house isn't haunted. So she called her aunt and she said, you know, I saw ghosts at grandma's house. And her aunt said, you're crazy. Grandma's house isn't haunted. And a few days went by. And after rolling the story around for a while, her aunt called her back and said, you know, I don't think grandma's house is haunted. But I will tell you, when your mom and I were little girls, we were with grandma in the living room, and a woman walked through the arched doorway and screamed at us and then disappeared. You know, it's in that moment and realizing that my client in the present was the ghost to those girls in the past, and those girls who were the ghosts in the present were the living people in the past. That's really where ghosts start to get wonky and flip-floppy.
That's a great story. I love that one. And I've heard similar scenarios. There's the famous one, and I'm sure you've heard this one before. It's almost an urban legend at this point, where the woman is dreaming of her dream house for years and years, and then one day her and her husband are visiting the town, and they happen to run across it, and she recognizes it from her dream, and then when they go up to it, the woman of the house screams at her and says she's been the one who's been haunting the house all these years.
Let's break and learn more about the haunting with Gene, Tim, and John. You're in
the Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. Shopsupertea.com.
USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
Police in Buffalo, New York say 13 people were shot, 10 of them killed, in what authorities called a hate crime and racially motivated violent extremism. 11 of the victims are black, 2 of them white. The shooting happened Saturday afternoon at a supermarket in a predominantly black neighborhood just a few miles north of downtown Buffalo. Mayor Byron Brown says it's the worst tragedy any community can face.
We are hurting and we are seething right now as a community. The depth of pain that families are feeling and that all of us are feeling right now cannot even be explained.
The suspect is an 18-year-old white man from New York State who authorities say was wearing military-style clothing and body armor and drove hours to Buffalo. He is set to face arraignment by Saturday night. This is USA Radio News. Russian President Vladimir Putin is warning his counterpart in Finland that relations could be, quote, negatively affected if the country follows through with plans to apply for NATO membership. According to the Kremlin's press service, Putin told the Finnish president that Finland's abandonment of, quote, its traditional policy of military neutrality would be an error since there are no threats to Finland's security. In a statement, the Finnish head of state told Putin how starkly Finland's security environment had changed after Russia invaded Ukraine in February. He also points out Russia's demands on Finland to refrain from seeking membership to the Western Military Alliance. Phil Mickelson will not be defending his PGA Championship this year. He's opting to extend his hiatus after comments he made in Golf Digest in February about a Saudi-funded rival league he supports and the PGA Tour that he accused of obnoxious greed. Mickelson is the first major champion not to defend his title since 2015. You are listening to USA Radio News.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally, and it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
This is Leslie Kane, and I'm with the Coalition for Freedom of Information, and you are listening to the Paracast.
So you're telling us, Tim, about this house where the woman says the person who visited her had been haunting her?
Yes. She, the protagonist of this story, and it's been told and retold, so I mean, it's one of these that's hard to track down. She said that she, for years, had been dreaming about this beautiful house that she dreamed that she was, you know, inside of it. She knew all the rooms and knew the outside. And then while they were on vacation one time, they just happened to run across this house that looked exactly like her dream house. So they decided to go up and knock on the door. And when the woman of the house answered, it, she actually screamed and fainted, and then, you know, later, after her husband had revived her, told this couple that they had a ghost that looked exactly like this woman who had been, you know, wandering the rooms for years. So, you know, a living ghost almost, I guess.
Well, to that point, Tim, so I can give you one that's a little easier to track down because it's one of my weird stories, which mm-hmm. was a woman in her 80s. This probably is now 12 or 13 years ago. A woman in her 80s came to me because her house was filled with what she called ghost children. So I did what I did and investigated her house and talked to her family. There were no children in the family and no children in the neighborhood. And after a few weeks of trying to find out what these ghost children were and never experiencing them for myself, I kind of had to wrap up the investigation because, you know, I can't spend forever. And perhaps she's just lonely and needs someone to talk to. And I'm also willing to do that. But the day that I went there to kind of wrap up her case, it was Michigan winter and it was snowing pretty hard. So I'm standing in her family room looking out the back window into her backyard, and she was making me tea, and I noticed something on the windows. So I kind of leaned forward and breathed the heavy breath across the windows. And on the inside of the windows were all these little kid handprints. And I was like, oh, wow, this is something I can like start investigating now. And she came back in with the tea and I showed her the handprints and she laughed and she was happy. And I said, oh, no, I can investigate. And she said, no, you were going to leave. And, you know, you said you were done investigating and I just needed someone to know that I wasn't crazy. And I really couldn't, without her permission, continue investigating. So I kind of had to wrap the case at that point. Well, 7 or 8 years goes by and I'm looking through my old case files. So I decide to go back to the house and see if she's still there. Again, she was in her 80s. And so I expected her to probably have passed on. And when I got there, I could tell there were new homeowners. I did the hardest thing that a ghost hunter has to do, which is cold call a house. I knocked on the front door. A woman came to the door. I explained who I was, that I had known the former owner, and if they had ever had any haunting in their house. And they said no. And I gave them my card and said, if anything weird ever happens, you know, I'm the local guy. You've got a ghost guy if you need one. And as I was walking back to my car, the owner of the house, the current owner, called me back. And she said, you know, I don't think this house is haunted, but my children, she had little kids, she go, my children have been drawing this old woman. And she showed me the drawings that her children had done. Her children were drawing my client. And as I'm looking at the pictures, her kids are in the family room and they have themselves pressed up against the glass looking outside. And the mother tells me, you know, oh, they're so excited. We moved here from Arizona. They've really never seen snow before. And so it seemed very much like the children in the present were the ghosts in my client's past.
And she's the ghost of the children's present.
Yeah.
So they're exchanging ghost visits.
Yeah, as if, you know, perhaps time doesn't matter at a certain point.
Well, it's better than missing time, I guess.
You know, Paul Eno, who we've had on the show before, I mean, he has a favorite theory, and he stipulates it's just a theory. That, you know, he wonders if ghosts and hauntings aren't residues from parallel realities, you know, that are running alongside of ours, you know, close enough to us, you know, that there's not much of a difference, but at, you know, for various reasons, there can be leakage, and that these, you know, the ghosts we're seeing are, you know, actually living people from these other realities, and probably vice versa.
Yeah, I talk about it in my lectures sometimes. You know, if ghost hunters really kept copious notes and really, really collected data in a significant way, and you went to these giant hotspot locations, which are endlessly investigated, and you looked historically back at the original ghost sightings, you see what people talk about in ghost stories, right? You see weird lights floating around in the darkness and shadowy figures whispering to themselves. Those are the original ghost stories that kick off these giant locations. And I can't help but wonder if what people in the past aren't experiencing are the ghost hunters in the present day who are wandering around in the dark with little flashing lights and whispering to themselves, can you hear me? Can you talk to me? And if people in the past aren't experiencing the ghost hunters in the future.
So therefore, the ghost hunters are becoming time travelers, sort of.
Yeah, the ghost hunters are the ghosts that they're looking for.
Okay. Well, do you have any particular personal opinion about ghosts and ghost hunting, having done some of this stuff?
I think that, again, it's, you know, obviously very personal and individualized and subjective. I think that if there are ghosts, there are as many different types of ghosts as there are people. And so I think to pigeonhole everything as a lost wandering spirit who needs reconciliation is as bad as saying everyone needs to eat oatmeal.
You mean they don't?
I mean, I think they should, but forcing it on them is a whole other idea.
We have a question from one of our listeners in the forum, Richard Hopkins, and Richard wants to know,
And I'm not quite sure what he means by this. Which show has been interviewed for that portrayed situation most realistically? And I suppose maybe he's referring to some of the reality shows that you've been involved with. I'm trying to think.
Yeah, you know, it's hard with paranormal shows because they are edited and they're crafted to hit a narrative. I've been on a few episodes of the show Kindred Spirits, which I think does a good job of showing a lot of different ideas. Kindred Spirits, I think, was the first show that actually mentioned thought forms and egregores as being a potential for the experience instead of just ghosts. And so I think introduction of new ideas is important too. For as flawed as the show that my show, Ghost Stalkers from 2014, for as flawed as that show was, you know, we were the first show to discuss the Psychical Research Society and the fact that people were hunting ghosts in the 1800s. So I think shows can do a good job of showing and presenting new ideas. They all have their failings, but I think right now, currently, I think Kindred Spirits does a pretty good job.
Yeah, so many of those shows, you know, it's just they're just cut from the same cloth. You know, I mean, you give the guys the night vision cameras, you know, some of them, you know, strapped to the body, send them into dark locations when, you know, really that's just for show. You don't need to hunt for ghosts in pitch black locations, and then have them, you know, scream and shout anytime the walls crack.
Yeah, I think that's one of the kind of great things about Kindred Spirits is, you know, there's no night vision. Sometimes they investigate during the day. If they need low light, then they just go low light. But, you know, and not everything is a demonic entity, right? Like that demons sell a lot of tickets in this world. And, you know, I am not one that's big on demonic entities. Over the past 30 years, I've had very few encounters with demonic entities. I've always told people, and this is a personal experience, but also a joke and also a learning experience.
You know what? You know what? Let's tell that in the next segment, okay? More to come with John and Gene and Tim. You're in
the Paracast.
For listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Hey, listeners. I want you to have the entire Paracast experience. So I'd like to tell you about After the Paracast. After the Paracast is an exclusive feature for subscribers to the Paracast Plus. With After the Paracast, you never know what's going to happen next. After the Paracast features color commentary, special interviews, and further conversations with Paracast guests. With Paracast Plus, you can download a very special enhanced version of the Paracast also. We do offer exclusive music, videos, and more features are coming. To get more info about subscribing, please visit theparacast.plus. Once again, theparacast.plus. Prices start at just $1.50 a week, less than a cup of coffee at your local convenience store. Check out theparacast.plus to learn more about Paracast Plus.
You trust your mother, right? She's always taken care of you and always tried to give you good advice when you ask for it. And sometimes, even when you don't. Well, even though she might not mention it, Mom very likely has neck, back, and shoulder pains. And she needs relief. So trust this good advice. Give back to Mom this Mother's Day with quality products from Sunny Bay. Like our disposable heat patches. They're back in stock now and target neck and shoulder pain in adults of all ages. Or our extra long neck heating pads. They provide soothing relief to painful sore necks and backs. Mom can heat them in her microwave, and they come in a variety of colors and patterns. Read our trusted, authentic, and real reviews on Amazon when you search Sunny Bay Heating Wraps. And shop now in time for Mother's Day. There's no shipping delays from Sunny Bay. Find us on Amazon, Walmart, Etsy, and sunny-bay.com. Remember, just search for Sunny Bay Neck Wraps. Order now because stock is high and shipping is fast. From Sunny Bay. stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's N-U-T-R-I Medical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Hi, this is Bryce Abel. I'm the producer of Dark Skies, the co-author of AD After Disclosure, and you are listening to the Paracast, the gold standard of paranormal radio.
Yes, folks, John's going to give us one more experience. By the way, he'll be back with After the Paracast for more uncensored discussion, because we've only scratched the surface here. Okay, John, you were going to reveal another episode.
You know, a story that I tell about an experience with demons is really kind of formative, a learning experience that I tell to audiences, which is a husband and wife called me to their house because they said they had a demon in their house. And when I got to their house, over the course of time that I was there, a screen door was kicked out, glasses were broken, I was scratched, I was punched, coffee cups were thrown against the wall, and eventually I left their house. Not because there was a demon in their house, but because their two kids were nightmares. Their two kids were out of control in that house, throwing things around and kicking and biting people. The reason I use that as a learning experience is because those children, for as outrageous as they were acting, weren't demons. They weren't evil. They were doing whatever it was that was in their limited power to get someone to talk to them and notice them and contact them. And so when you have ghost hunting shows go into a location and someone is scratched or a door is slammed, the conclusion is there must be something in here that's mad. And the reality is we have difficulty interpreting the motive and means of a human sitting across from us, much less a non-corporeal entity. And to say that because you were scratched or a door was slammed or something was broken, that there is true evil in that location is very backwards thinking.
I've always found that, especially when it comes to poltergeist experiences, that if you have investigators come in and just immediately go to the evil entity, demonic, what have you, start hanging up crosses, things like that, then the phenomena, whatever it is more than happy to put on a show to follow along those lines. Next thing you know, the crosses are all upside down, Bibles are catching on fire. It's just like, okay, whatever we are, we're more than happy to be whatever you want us to be.
Well, sure. I mean, again, you know, if you want to apply human logic to things that seem inhuman or paranormal, whatever you want to call it, I was a bouncer at a bar for a while, and if two people were about to get into a fight, the way that I would diffuse it was I would go over to them and I would immediately match their energy, right? Like my voice got louder, I got more puffed up so that I could meet them at the level they were at and then bring them back down to a place where they weren't hopefully going to fist fight each other. To what you were saying, Tim, sometimes locations react like that. There are a lot of people, because they've watched a lot of television, who go into a location and they start kicking walls and setting up axes and telling ghosts to chop me in half and who want to fist fight ghosts. You know, I don't think that's a great way to start a conversation with anyone, much less a ghost.
The whole provoking the ghost is a scenario that, you know, I always tell people, don't do that. You know, because they see these shows and they're like, oh, well, that's the way to do it. You know, they'll go into a house and start shouting at the ghost, you know, come at me or follow me home or you know, stuff like that. And it's like, no, don't do that.
Well, yeah, for sure. And you know what? If human beings can in some way leave energy behind when they die, right? If we're thinking that's a possibility, that somehow you can leave an imprint because of your energy in a location, then you might be able to do that while you're alive. So if a ghost hunting group goes into a place on Sunday night and they're kicking the walls and they're trying to start a fight, right, and they have their aggression up and they got all of their blood pumping and they're screaming and provoking, if a group goes in there on Monday night and they're like, something in this room wants to fight me, how do they know they're just not picking up the energy from the group on Sunday?
That's a good point.
Very interesting.
You know, you got me thinking earlier in the show, you were talking about how, you know, there's been billions of people who have lived on this earth and died, and probably the most, you know, haunted location is the earth itself. It'd be interesting if somebody could manage to do a show where you just go to random locations. Not someplace that's already reported to be haunted, just, you know, just someplace, and see if they can come up with ghostly activity. I'm sorry, John. I do that all the time. I frustrate my daughter when we're watching a new show where I'll just say, oh, well, you know what's going to happen next? And she'll like, shut up. And I'll probably, you know, 9 out of 10 times I'll call it. But
your psychic power is revealing itself.
My weird psychic power. All right, here we go. Years ago, after my son and I had written a couple of sci-fi novels, we wrote a screenplay. Before writing our screenplay, we both read some instruction books on formatting screenplays. And ever since then, every so often I'm watching a TV show and I know the next piece of dialogue, even though I hadn't seen it before, mostly because they're using cliches. So if I was writing the screenplay, it's probably what I'd use. But I could like to say, it's my psychic power. Okay, you see the reaction, folks?
That's one of those things. When you're writing fiction, like I was saying earlier, you know, when you're using that imaginative creative process, you stumble into areas of high strangeness. And I think that that is a little puzzle piece that is missed very often. You know, we talk about the jokesters and the tricksters and the fraudsters in the paranormal community, the UFO community, but sometimes they stumble into something that seems to be really going on or seems to have some type of archetypal meaning.
Well, I could say this in writing the sci-fi novel, the first one especially. I dreamed of situations that we incorporated into the novel. I'm not saying I did like Paul McCartney does, where he comes up with a billion-dollar song by dreaming about yesterday or Let It Be. I mean, this was a much more modest scale. I assume a lot of people do that, where they dream of this other reality and this other situation and then remember to write it down.
Yeah, absolutely. Or what we call tropes, whether they be in science fiction or any kind of literature. It's almost as if the idea itself is some type of archetypal being that takes a break every now and then reaches in and says, you know what, no one's been thinking about me for a while. I need to have 4 books and 2 movies based around the same weird experience. And then everybody thinks that the writers are just stealing from each other when there might be something stranger happening. It might be this non-corporeal, ethereal being reaching out and saying, no, I'm going to make a bunch of people imagine me again.
It's like when you see movies, new movies come out, and then there'll be 2 different movies with a similar plot line.
Yeah, you know, friends of mine, I think it was in the 90s, and there were some giant meteor movies coming out. Armageddon was one of them, and then there was another giant movie coming out about a meteor hitting. And I said, so you guys are just copying ideas? And he said, no, we absolutely are not. Like, the time it takes to get a movie okayed and into production doesn't allow us to steal ideas. There's no way that they could have known we were working on a meteor film and us both be this far in production at the same time.
We're talking here about the fact that a movie can take 2 years, 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from original idea to the final production, any time at which the final movie may have no resemblance whatever to the original concept, or just barely any. John, E.L. Tenney, tell our listeners where they can find more of your stuff.
So I've tried to make it as easy as possible. Twitter, Instagram, all of that is just John E. L. Tenney, one word. Or I tell people they can go on Google and they can type my last name, Tenney, T-E-N-N-E-Y, and the word weirdo, and then follow it down any road it takes you.
Brother Road, and he'll be joining us again on After the Paracast. For those who are subscribers to the Paracast Plus, you can find us on Twitter. Look for the Paracast. Look for two areas on Facebook for the Paracast. And check out our store, our online store at theparacast.shop, where you can buy branded merchandise, the T-shirts and everything else. Good quality merchandise, theparacast.shop. Also, we offer the Paracast Plus. Check theparacast.plus for more. We offer our own subscription service, which includes this show free of the network ads and the exclusive After the Paracast podcast, where John E. L. Tenney will be back. He'll be right back. And, of course, we'll offer more uncensored discussion there. Low subscription rates, and if you use the coupon code UFO20, that's UFO20, we give you a 20% discount on 5-year and permanent or lifetime subscriptions, theparacast.plus, theparacast.plus. John E. L. Tenney, thank you for joining us on the Paracast.
Thanks for having me.
The Paracast, featuring Gene Steinberg, is a copyrighted presentation of Making the Impossible, Incorporated. Tune in next week for a new adventure in The Paracast.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Attack of the Rockoids has been well received by critics and readers alike. It's a thrill-a-minute story you'll never forget. A former U.S. military intelligence officer is haunted by intense dreams about a beautiful woman pleading for his help after a terrible battle in outer space. But the dreams turn out to be true and thrust him into a telepathic love affair with a woman whose faraway planet is intent on destroying the Earth. And now the gripping tale continues in The Coming of the Protectors. It's the second book of the Rockoids trilogy, a galaxy-spanning adventure that pits our hapless heroes against powerful, fanatical enemies that threaten the lives of freedom-loving beings everywhere. Attack of the Rockoids and The Coming of the Protectors, classic science fiction at its best, available now. For more details, visit Rockoids.com. That's Rockoids.com.
Did you know that you could easily be saving up to 90% on your taxes by simply making a phone call? That's right. The Fortune 500, the globalists, all the big billionaires and millionaires, they know about the loopholes written into the law where most of them pay almost zero tax. In fact, many of them pay no tax. You even see it on the news. How are they able to do that, but the common person can't? So whether you're a school teacher, a lawyer, a scientist, a millionaire, a billionaire, or whether you're just a regular blue-collar worker, everybody should learn about the legal, lawful loopholes. And we've got an organization and a group that I am so proud to be working with, American Tax Solutions. GCN has a special deal with them to get you the best rates. Here's the most important part. They save you money and then get part of the savings. This is an absolute win-win solution. You've got to give them a call at 855-907-4841 or GCNTaxCut.com. That's GCNTaxCut.com. The only way you miss out is not making the phone call. Make it now.